When two children grow up in a haunted house, life won't be easy. But are they actually facing down another, more evil form of darkness? Then we travel all the way out to the Ozarks to meet a man, a simple man, who loves simple things. But his simple life is interrupted when an advanced alien species invites him to join the Galactic Confederation. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Chase Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys had an awesome weekend. I finally did it. I finally watched the first Dune. I talked about the previous 2 weeks. I loved it. It was totally awesome. I didn't know nothing about Dune. And now I know. Now I know 2.5 hours worth of it. I was totally enthralled into that story. I knew nothing about it. I never saw that kid, that Timothy kid, ever act in anything except when he hosted SNL. He's a really good actor. Shocked at the special guest appearance of Armie Hammer as the Sandworm, gobbling all those people up. It was great makeup for him. Perfect for that role. I really enjoyed Dune. I'm going to see Dune 2 tomorrow. I've already bought my tickets. I'm hyped. I know a lot of people saw the first Dune and they're like, oh, going to be a couple of years before I can see how this story ends, because it pretty much is just half a movie, but it's really enjoyable. I have to wait. I have to wait about 12 hours. That's it. And I'm still totally hyped. But somebody who's always bringing the hype, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command, everyone get on your feet and give it up for Green Spleen Submarine. Woohoo, yeah, wee, ha-ha, yeah, wee. Driving, floating, whatever submarine does, into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Green Spleen Submarine made a donation during our Thanksgiving live stream special. So I wanted to give him a shout out for that. I really appreciate any financial help you can give the show. And also, Green Spleen Submarine has their own YouTube channel where they cover a lot of green text from the export, as well as other subjects. So I'll go ahead and drop that channel in the notes. Go ahead and guys, check it out. It's pretty good. Green Spleen Submarine, you're going to be our captain or pilot this episode. You're going to be a submarine this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially, I totally understand. I do. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Also, Patreon members get the show ad-free. Oh, we got one more thing to say real quick. Oregon Ghost Conference, March 22nd through the 24th in Seaside, Oregon. I will be there speaking 10 a.m. March 23rd. Can ghosts tell time and other perplexing questions, but I will be there at my booth Friday night, Saturday all day, and you'll see me walking around Sunday. So if you guys need something to do, if you guys are super bored, or you just want to hang out with other paranormal-minded people, Oregon Ghost Conference, March 22nd through the 24th. Be there and be scared. Green Spleen Submarine, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the key. Why don't we just climb inside you? Everyone climbs. He's like, I'm not a real submarine. We're all ripping him open. I'm like, yeah, you get in the ribcage. I'm going to slip my feet right through his mouth. I'm going to sit on him. Green Spleen Submarine, we're going to pilot you, your corpse, all the way out to a house in the suburbs. It's the sound of him drowning. That's the sound of him drowning as a bunch of people are living in his body. This is your first episode of Dead Rabbit Radio, by the way. You're like, wait, what? Why is he talking about Dune? Why did he just eviscerate one of his financial supporters and crawl into his body? I'm wearing him like my own skin suit now. I'm like, I am Green Spleen. We finally show up. If this is your first episode, I truly do apologize. We're headed all the way out to this house in the suburbs. We get there, and it looks like a totally normal house. It looks like a house that we'd see just driving by. You drive by these houses all the time. You don't even think, what could be going on in there? Well, this time we're actually going to find out. We're going to meet this young girl, or maybe find out. This is kind of an interesting story. We're going to meet this young girl. We don't have real names. We'll call her Monica. She's 8. And then she has a little sister named Clara, who's around one. They live with their mom and their dad, and they live in a haunted house. But not like the cool kind of haunted house. My old buddy Steve, back in high school, he lived in a house where one day he was, I don't remember if he was walking down the hallway, it's funny either way, but either he was walking down the hallway or he was just in his room, when all of a sudden, if I remember the story correctly, I mean, this, I heard it 30 years ago, but I know Steve listens to the show every once in a while. He supports the show through the Patreon too, but he told me when he was a kid, I think he was walking down the hallway, all of a sudden, a ghost came down the hallway. But, you know, again, that'd be fine, right? Walking down the hallway, be like, no, Jason, I've been peeing my pants and walking down the hallway, turn around, there's some old man following me. That would be scary enough. But what, if I remember this story correctly, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, he turns around and coming down the hallway was like either a man on a horse or a man on a covered wagon. Like, I mean, that's far more terrifying, right? You're like, oh, not only is this ghost chasing me, he's moving in. He starts unloading all of his ghost goods, sets up a little cot, cooking a can of beans right where you're living from his little ghost fire. He was walking down the hallway when he was a little kid, and he turned around and he saw a ghost leading a covered wagon chasing him down the hallway. Now, Steve can go, that never happened. I don't know. I never told him that story. It never happened. I'm pretty sure it was Steve. I'm pretty sure it was a covered wagon. But you could deal with that. You could deal with that kind of ghost. You could deal with, he woke up in the middle of the night, harmonica music. You're like, ghostly harmonica music. You're at school. You're singing, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. It's just like constantly stuck in your head. But that's not what we're talking about. This haunting, there's a very interesting story. We'll discuss it when we're done. This might be one of the most bizarre hauntings that we've covered on this show. But there might be a reason for it. There might be a reason for it. Monica keeps using the term ghost, demon, and negative spirit kind of interchangeably through her narrative. She goes, I don't know what it was. I don't know how to classify it. But whatever it was, ghost, demon, or negative spirit, it was hostile. And it caused some crazy effects in the house. It wasn't like a ghost walking down your hallway. It wasn't walking into your bathroom and you see a little girl crouch down behind the toilet and then she like vanishes right when you flick the light switch. Nothing like that. One of the big issues that they suffered in this house, and this affected both Monica and Claire, because they've talked about this over the years and it went on for a period of time, even though Claire was one when this started, as she got older, they could compare notes. First off, time dilation. Monica said we would be in the house and it would feel like days upon days upon days of time would pass. But when we left the house, only a day or two had passed. You chalk that up to being a kid, right? Kids have a wonky sense of time. 1 year to an 8-year-old is 1/8 of their life. It seems incredibly long. 1 year to a 50-year-old is 1/50th of their life. And that's why time tends to speed up as you get older because your scale of measurement is bigger. Okay, yeah, it could be a issue like that. The weekends are super boring and then you're like, dude, it feels like we've been in this house for like 5-6 days. And then you wake up, you go to school and you're like, oh, it's just Monday. We actually haven't been stuck in the void that leads to the forever. Monica said also there was this weird, like, I don't even know how to classify this as far as a haunting. Monica said me and my sister would get stuck together. When we touched each other, it was kind of hard to make sense of the grammar of the sentence, but I'll try my best. If I touch my little sister Clara, an invisible replica can be felt. And that replica will stick to you. And you have to place your hand in the same spot and absorb the invisible in order to receive it back. That's a direct quote, that last part. And then she continues, quote, if not, then a part of you will be missing. So if I touched you, I would feel an invisible you stick to me. And for us to get unstuck, I mean, obviously they could run around playing tag. They're all tag. You're in. Oh, soul's getting ripped out of the body. Clara just falls over, slumped. Probably shouldn't have joked much during this story because I have a theory about it. But you touch somebody and an invisible replica of them is made. And now you have to repeat the touch. So either you get part of your soul back or whatever it is, or they get part of their soul back. Weird. I mean, like, what else would... I can't even think of an alien story that has such a bizarre power to it. Another weird one. She goes, while we were in the house, it wasn't just the time dilation. We would age up. We would get older in the house. Like... You go, Jason, everybody gets older every single day. Yeah, it's the way she explained it, I think there's some grammar issues. English might not be the first language, but they would age up in the sense that they would say things, and I'm assuming also act a way that a young child would not, but an older woman would. Because she talked about we would say things to each other that were actually, quote, future lines. Unquote. And they could also see into the future. So it's kind of like that 13 going on 30 type of thing. Now, their parents were aware of this. They have an interesting parent dynamic. Monica goes, my mother was fully aware that there was some negative force in the house. And she was very, very Christian, very, very religious woman. She would constantly be praying. She'd be putting religious objects all over the house, trying to ward off this evil. Monica seems to think that this spirit, whatever it was, attacked the girls primarily because they were the weakest. Just like an animal in a jungle would attack, you know, the weakest, the youngest, the babies of a pack. It was the same thing here. She doesn't really mention her mother being affected by this. She does mention her father, though, being affected by this. Being possessed by this force. She goes, my dad was abusive. He was an abusive father. But on top of that, sometimes it would feel like this demonic entity, whatever it is, would possess my father and make him worse than just an abusive dad. Even when this spirit wasn't inside of him, he just gave off a super negative energy. The father just gave this off. And it's possible, in a way, subconsciously, he was powering it. Might have even attracted it in the first place through just his raw, unbridled negativity. May have brought this demon into the house, at the very least was giving it more energy to work with. Apparently this whole activity lasted 2-3 years tops. And after that point, they were no longer having issues with the time dilation, getting stuck together, or looking into the future, anything like that. It's interesting because she starts off her narrative by saying, when I was about 8 and my little sister was 1, our house was haunted by either a ghost or a demonic spirit. Then she continues, that spirit was suggested by my Christian mother to be my dad. He is alive and lived in the same home as us. So again, I don't know if there's a translation error there, because then she kind of goes on about her dad powering it. I don't know if there's a translation error there or they didn't understand what her mother was saying. It is your dad. Your dad is the cause of all of this, or your dad is the one actually doing this. But fathers can't cause time dilation or soul splitting or anything like that. What does that sentence mean? Well, there's a couple different ways we can look at it. It's interesting because there is, as far as I can think of, no haunting that has these same attributes. This would almost seem more like the house itself was in some sort of a quasi-real state. It had one foot in this dimension and one foot in the other. It wasn't necessarily a negative spirit. It was a portal. The house itself was charged. This sounds more like me and my buddies went to a old abandoned structure in the middle of the woods, and it was super weird. We were seen into the future. When we touched each other, it felt like something was being ripped out of us. This is way off the charts for even a demon. This is way off the charts for any spirit or poltergeist I've ever come across. And I'm not the end-all, say-all genius, right? I'm not the total expert on this or really an expert at all. I just research this stuff. I love it. I've never come across anything like this. Now, about a week or two ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I did a story about two boys who were abducted by reptilians, if I remember correctly. Maybe they were grays, but the two boys were abducted by aliens in Texas, and horrific things happened to them. And I got more than one email about that episode. I got more than one comment about that episode where people are saying, I think those poor children were not abducted by aliens. I think that they might have been molested. And that was the way their brain was processing it. And what's funny is when I was doing the story, I kind of had that same thought as well. I didn't touch on it because I had touched on it in the past and I didn't want to come to the point where so many of these stories, I just started saying maybe they were abused. I did have that thought in my head, but I go, let's just stick with the straight alien narrative for this one. But that did pop in my head. So when I started getting the comments and the emails, I was not surprised that other people were reading into that story. That is what I read into this story. That might be the answer to this. And the reason why, it's because it just... either they attracted one of the most... this is a demigod. Either they're living on an incredibly active ley line crossroads. Their house was charged. It was a gateway. It was basically LAX for the supernatural. That would explain it. A one in a million... one in a billion location on the planet Earth could be this powerful. This is a story where I hope it's supernatural. It's just so far out of the power rankings of anything paranormal. The alien, I'll put the alien episode in the show notes. That episode does clock with a lot of alien abduction stories. It wasn't completely out of the blue. There wasn't stuff happening there that we've never covered before. But I remember when I was doing it, they keep referencing the uncle's RV nearby. They saw the UFO by the uncle's RV. The next day they go outside the uncle, and I thought, what if the uncle did something to these kids? I actually tied it into possibly a nearby serial killer who was dead at this point named Dean Coral. Like, was there just some sort of evil, ancient evil in this place? Because Dean Coral, as far as I'm concerned, is the worst American serial killer, bar none. He is hands down the worst, before or after his reign of terror. Still don't know how many kids he killed. But, you know, when I was preparing the story, I was like, I don't want to go that angle. I've gone that angle one or two times before. I don't want to just start being the answer. But, you know, it's crazy because it could be. And I was thinking, what if this was the uncle? And then with this story here. But this is something about the paranormal, right? We don't know. We don't know. And I don't want to go down the road that whenever we run across something that involves children, and something truly bizarre, I don't not want to always default to go, oh, they probably got molested. They probably got molested. That's basically the same as approaching every ghost story with carbon monoxide poisoning. Do you have a carbon monoxide? It's an easy out to kind of go that route. But I want to cover this one. I mean, I hope it's paranormal. I hope that there's either, again, demigod level powers where you're manipulating time and space. Nothing like this. Nothing like this on the books. I hope it's paranormal. But it's definitely could be something worse. Could be something worse. And I do, while I don't think every paranormal story does involve abuse of some kind, I'm sure some of them do. I would argue most of them don't. Just like I don't think all of them, the people who experience them are psychotic, but I think some of the people who do tell these stories are psychotic. It's really interesting. It's an interesting part of the narrative because we do have to think, someone who goes outside and says, it's cloudy, look at all those clouds, and we go out, and we don't go, I'm not even going to look up to see if there's clouds. That guy's crazy who's ever saying it as all of a sudden hail's falling on you. You're like, nope, still not looking up. There's not many sciences where you have to, in the back of your mind, think, is this person who is telling me that they observed this event, are they crazy? Or are they so wildly mistaken because what their brain has done is taken a truly horrific event and processed it in a way that a 8-year-old and a 1-year-old can understand? The biologists don't have that issue. Someone finds a tree frog, you don't go, cuckoo, cuckoo, look at that guy, man. What's up with you? Were you drinking? Were you smoking? Smoking some weed? No, you just go, yeah, that's a tree frog. I can look and I can observe that as well. This story, I hope, is paranormal. And in that case, I always talk about wanting to go out and visit some locations I cover on this show. This would not be up there. This would not be in my top 10. As fascinating as it is, the power level, there's just nothing like it. If this is a spirit out there, then presumably this spirit is still there or floating around somewhere looking for new victims. That's what I hope it is. As a paranormal researcher and as someone, just as a basic human who doesn't like to see other humans or really any living organism suffer, I hope this is a ghost story. I hope this is the story of a demon who tormented two children, because the other option is just worse. Worse. I want to say too, guys, I appreciate all the emails. Like I said, I got a couple emails about that story. They weren't like mad or anything like that. They're just like, oh, you know, Jason, it could have been this. So, and I love getting feedback from you guys. Really, really appreciate it. Green Spleen Submarine, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind this house in the suburbs. Fly us all the way out to Netflix headquarters. If you listen to yesterday's episode, and you obviously can tell the sound of my voice, the quality is different. Yesterday's episode was kind of a Frankenstein episode. This one is too. I'm a bit under the weather. I have a sore tongue, which might be, I mean, I'd much rather just have a fever laying in bed right now. Having a sore tongue is not super fun at all, especially when you talk for a living, as I do on this podcast. So I've been Frankensteining episodes together, and we're going to do a little bit more of this. But even though I'm Frankensteining stuff together this week, I always want to put out quality stuff for you. I always want to make sure it's good, even though my voice sounds bad. I don't want to just throw slop on the air. So all of that being said, very, very convoluted introduction, we're going to go take a look at some really quick stories here in the end to make this a proper length episode. Also, that last story is so depressing, so let's find some good stuff. Let's find some interesting stuff here. I want to talk, this is actually perfect time because I have some weird but very, very short stories to tell you. And I they kind of just been sitting on the back burner for a bit. One's a little more recent, but this is actually perfect because I do want to discuss these. First off, Greensplane Submarine's taken us to Netflix to take a look at a new event that may change the course of American politics. Now, no, it's not. The conspiracy theories. Let me tell you what the real part is first before we get to the conspiracy theory. I think you guys all know about it. July 20th, 2024, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to have a boxing match. And people who aren't even fans of boxing are looking forward to this. I'm a casual fan of boxing. I really do enjoy watching it, but I usually don't have to, I don't have time to do a lot of stuff. Like, I love NASCAR, don't have time to watch races. Casual boxing fan, I'll kind of follow along or catch highlights on YouTube, stuff like that. But people who aren't fans of boxing want to see Jake Paul get beat up. Even if they don't really know who Jake Paul is, they just know Jake Paul is a YouTuber and they want to see him clobbered by Iron Mike Tyson, arguably the best boxer of all time, up against a 27-year-old YouTuber. And to be fair, at this point, Jake Paul is a boxer. He trains, he's done matches, people have complaints against who he fights against, mostly old men, and we'll get into that in a second. But to say Jake Paul is just a YouTuber is a like saying Steven Spielberg makes made-for-TV movies. Yeah, he started off making a made-for-TV movie, but now he makes movies like War of the Worlds and Munich, which are two of, I think those are his two best films, honestly. You can't just say, oh, he's a TV director, because that's how he started off. Jake Paul, 27 years old, clocking in at around 200 pounds, 199, something like that. Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson, heavyweight champ, but he's 58. So that's the reason why a lot of people are saying, you know, I mean, yeah, you're taking one of the greatest boxers of all time, but he's also 30 years older than the guy he's fighting, and you do lose endurance and speed. I think Tyson has a strength advantage over him, but this is a conspiracy theory. Fascinating thing. I can't wait for that fight. I was super excited to see it. Apparently, some of the rules are coming out. They might have to wear headgear, which would disappoint a lot of people who want to see Jake Paul get brain damage. But I would argue, even if you had on headgear, a solid punch from Mike Tyson, you're losing some brain cells. You know, I've had so many concussions from fighting that I have brain damage. I have brain damage. We've talked about that before on the show. I have a very hard time recognizing faces. I'm actually very good at names. I just don't recognize people. And I can't tell time. I cannot tell how much time has passed between moment to moment. It's very, very difficult for me. Time dysmorphia is that. And then a facial blindness is the other one. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. This is a conspiracy theory, and it's funny because when it popped up, I actually kind of was like, oh, that's interesting. I'll see if I can find it again. I didn't bookmark it because I thought, oh, that's interesting, and then I just kept on reading other stuff. Now I really wish that I had saved it, and I'll see if I can find it. This is a conspiracy theory. This is actually kind of interesting. I hope it's not true. This is going to be one of Netflix's biggest live events, if not the biggest live event. You're going to have people who don't even like boxing watching Mike Tyson try to murder Jake Paul. Or a lot of Jake Paul, Paulino fans, whatever they call themselves, impulsives, watching the fight just to see their guy take on one of the greatest boxers of all time. You're going to have people all around the world watching this fight live. The conspiracy theory is this. This is all a setup. July 20th, 2024 is the fight. We're all going to tune in to watch Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. Jake Paul is going to kill Mike Tyson. It does happen in boxing. It's fairly rare considering how violent the sport can be. But it does happen. Jake Paul is going to kill Mike Tyson. It's going to look like a normal boxing match gone bad. But people may blame the ref for not calling it early. People may blame Jake Paul for, after seeing how much damage, how much brain damage Mike Tyson has taken, continue a flurry of blows. It's going to be, quote unquote, an accident, but it's also going to be so over the top, people are going to be enraged. How in the world could you let this happen? We watched this 58-year-old man get beat to death, and we paid for the privilege of it. But that's not it. It's not that we're just watching a sports legend die in the ring. What the world will see, and more importantly, the American population see, is a young white man beating an old black man to death. Live. The conspiracy theory is the reason why this is planned out is because this is, what, 5 months before the election? What will happen is you will see a mass uprising in the black communities around America, and they'll be like, enough. We're done with this. We are not going to let this happen again. We're not going to let some young white guy kill an old black man. We all watched it live on television. It's almost like a human sacrifice. You're going to see mass protests. You're going to see huge riots, giant gatherings, speeches about the evils of racism. You're going to see politicians quickly try to take sides on these issues. You're going to see people reflexively, this happens all the time, it's the weirdest thing. One political party says, this is evil. And then another group of people will say, well, actually, dot, dot, dot. And it's a reflex. Like, some stuff is just undeniably evil. Some stuff is just awful. But because one person says it and you don't like that person's politics, you go, well, actually, dot, dot, dot. We're going to see that. And we're going to see just this chaos 5 months before the election. And it's going to help Joe Biden maintain the presidency. This is what's interesting about this conspiracy theory. I don't buy that last part. Super interesting. So, and again, I think that, you know, you can write this up and you go, I have a conspiracy theory. A is going to happen. Mike Tyson's going to be killed live on television. And that will help Joe Biden maintain the presidency. I don't follow that line of logic. I guess because he'll say, you know, basically, I mean, because Jake Paul's not famously a Republican or a conservative, as far as I know. I don't know. I don't follow that through line. I think it would create chaos. I think it absolutely would create chaos to the point that maybe there would be talk of suspending the election. Which is, there's always talk about that. Have you noticed that? Two things get talked about. I've been a conspiracy theorist pretty much my whole life, but I can track this back to really the Clinton administration, when I was totally aware of this. There's two things that pop up every election season. One, a conspiracy theory that the elections will be postponed and the person in power will stay in power. I've seen that with both Clinton and Bush and Obama and Trump. So I can see that Biden, that conspiracy theory as well. They're just going to postpone the elections. The other conspiracy theory is that I've heard since Clinton, and that's why I always blow it off, he's not going to leave office. He's not going to leave office. And yet every president that I've heard that about leaves office. I heard that about Obama. Remember the whole camps Obama was building and ordered 1 million body bags? What was it, like Agenda 21 or 27 or something like that? Alex Jones was a huge proponent of this. Obama wasn't even going to leave. He left. Trump, for everything that happened on January 6th, he left. George Bush, George W. Bush, he wasn't supposed to leave. He left. They always leave. There's always this talk about the elections are going to get suspended. Oh, well, now that person's just not going to leave. I mean, it could happen, right? It could happen. But it's an interesting conspiracy theory. It's one of those conspiracy theories I don't hope is real, that a man is not beat to death and as everybody's watching it. But at the same time, it, in the back of my mind, as I'm watching that fight, this conspiracy theory will stick with me. Until literally the fight's over, and then I'm like, woo, he's still alive. And then Mike Tyson trips on a rock outside the ring, breaks his neck. Interesting conspiracy theory. I don't think there's anything to it, but I can see the first part. I think it falls apart on the second thing about that it would help Joe Biden stay in office. Because chaos is generally never good for an incumbent politician. But if you did want, if honestly, if you did want chaos, if you just didn't really care who won, and I think the real people in power, right, we talk about groups, Trump called them the deep state, they used to be called the shadow government. There are people who work in D.C. who wield more power than the president. 100%. It's not even a conspiracy theory. Chaos is, they may just want chaos. Chaos for chaos's sake. And if you wanted to do that, that's the perfect time to pull that off. Everyone's going to be watching. If Mike Tyson killed Jake Paul, people would go, well, that's what Jake Paul gets for fighting Mike Tyson. People wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but if a 27-year-old white dude beats up a 58-year-old black dude on television, and we all paid for it, I think we would feel terrible about that as individuals, and then the chaos in the streets would reflect our own guilt in our hearts. So it's a fascinating conspiracy theory. Again, I hope it doesn't work. I'll see if I can find the original text for it, but I came across that. And let's go ahead and take a look at one other conspiracy theory here. Basically some guy running around online trying to convince everyone that Russia's ballet, you know, like ballerinas and stuff like that, was actually, or to this day, is still a cover for sex trafficking. So you go into these villages in Russia and you get these children, these young girls, and you teach them ballet. Right there seems like way too much trouble for a sex trafficking operation. The thing about perverts is they're not picky. They're not like, oh, but can she do a double hand backspring? No, they're just perverts. They just want gross things to do with kids. But anyway, so some guy was posting online about the ballet in Russia, ballerina companies, whatever the term is. It started off, it wasn't even that, it was a side hustle. The reason why the Russian ballet started off in the first place was someone had access to all these young girls, and they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the big cities in Russia, and we'll tell them that we're the ballet. The point was that it was a traveling sex trafficking operation. So you'd go to Moscow or Leningrad or Stalingrad. What do they used to be called? Like St. Petersburg, like this old-timey Russian stuff. You'd show up at the Grand Theater, and you see dun 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 dun, all these little kids dancing dun 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 dun. They're turning around and stuff like that, doing ballet stuff. And the people in the audience were like, I want her. I want her. How much is it? They're all saying it all aloud. There are probably a lot of people who go to the ballet who don't know it's sex trafficking. And then there's this guy sitting in the row. He's like, how much for the nutcracker? How much for the nutcracker? What? What are you talking about? He's all pulling money out and the ballerina guy is throwing the nutcracker to this. He's like, what? How does this play in? There's no more nutcracker. This copypasta was going around on the internet. He goes, Russia's ballet is actually a sex trafficking operation. And that's why it started. That's why it started was because somebody wanted to sell kids from town to town. Logistically, it's a terrible idea. Listen, child sex trafficking is a terrible idea to begin with. But I also understand that I think human trafficking is one of the highest grossing illegal activities. Human trafficking, whether it be for sex or slavery, is a very, very high profitability level, which is shocking. I thought it would be easier to bring over kilos of coke in the back of a Honda Accord than it would be to throw a bunch of humans in a shipping container. But apparently it's not the case. Apparently, human trafficking, you can make more money. But if you had to train them to be ballerinas, That's now it's kind of eating into your profits. I don't mean to be making light of this situation. This is a conspiracy theory that's just so weird. And it gets even weirder. Like, he keeps saying that Russia's ballet is a sex trafficking operation. And it has been since the beginning. But then he starts arguing that I told you that at Christmas time. I told you that at the Christmas dinner table. And you told me it wasn't true. That never happened, right? He's not talking directly to me. Who's he talking to? He posted this whole thing. You know, it's obviously, he uses a lot of bad language. I mean, I guess he's exposing human trafficking. That I can give him the use of the F word a couple times, but let me read out to you what this says here. It says, he gives his thing about, in Russia's ballet, used was to sell cute peasant girls to the Russian nobility, which is what I said at the Christmas dinner table when the young woman was saying, ha ha ha, he is probably a ballerina or something. I don't actually watch ballet, but she was talking down to me. So I said, Russian ballerinas look good. To put it that way, like, wasn't he just talking about a bunch of kids? Didn't he just say that's a child sex trafficking operation? Now he's saying they're cute? Hold on. That is what he's saying. So I said, Russian ballerinas look good, and that the purpose of Russian ballet was to sell good-looking Russian peasant girls to the nobility. Got a problem with that? He continues. I will find you and torture you and then kill you dead, since you oppose child brides. And then he goes off on this whole thing about him wanting to kill everybody who doesn't believe that little girls should be able to marry adult men. I'm going to kill you white people. If it's the last thing I ever do, I will kill you. You are a matriarchal race that I hate. You do not marry your girls to your men. You donate them to random strangers, but only once they're used up women and not girls. I will kill you. And then just sprinkle a couple of pretty explicit words in the middle of that, and you'll have the gist of that. Really, really interesting. Insane ramblings of a man. Who posted this online? I don't know where to classify it as far as he probably did have a conversation at the dinner table. He does say at one point he was talking to a relative of his who happened to be over 20. And also there was a 12 and a half year girl listening to the conversation as well. They were talking about, I imagine, the ballet. I don't think this guy talks about much else, unfortunately. And he says this 12 and a half year old girl told him, you live in your mother's basement. And he took that as like the most stinging insult of all. So I don't know if why he was posting this online. I don't know if he posted it once and then someone else thought it was funny and started reposting it over and over again. It's really hard to tell with insane people. He could have easily posted this over and over and over again online. But here's the thing, like I said, he said Russian ballet is used as a sex trafficking operation. I read that and I go, let's check, right? Let's check. I cover enough conspiracy theories. I thought maybe back in the 1700s, 1800s, maybe there was a scandal. I wasn't able to find any proof of that. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, but I just think it's such a bad business model. Again, sex trafficking is a terrible business model to begin with. But imagine having to, not only are you kidnapping people, but you're turning them into world-class athletes. And then you're selling them. Like, ballerinas are on a Mike Tyson level as far as fitness goes. Especially Russian ballerinas. It's no joke. It's absolutely no joke. I think you could argue, here's a creepy conspiracy theory. I'll just throw off, I'm just thinking about this. You know, during Halloween time, you see all these advertisements and you'll see them on the bags. You go to like a Walmart or something, you're looking for a cheap Halloween costume and you see a Flintstone costume and there's a picture of a guy wearing the big leopard, saber-tooth tiger fur, whatever it is. And yabba-dabba-doo! You're like, oh yeah, that's Fred Flintstone. And then you walk over and you see like a sexy woman vampire and she's like dressed up in the black thing. You're looking for your costume. Well, there's obviously always a kid section. And you see all the kids, and it's cute kids wearing, you know, like their little vampire costume or a little Scooby-Doo costume or Power Rangers, whatever. What if there's a child sex trafficking operation that uses costumes to sell kids to people? Like, you go, you're standing in your aisle, you're like, oh, should I be a Yogi Bear? Or should I be the Demogorgon? And then behind you, there's some creepy old guy, and he's like going through all the kid costumes, and we hear him going like, this one, no, this one. And you're like, what, does that guy have a niece or something? That is a more believable, like, wow, Jason, you've ruined Halloween for me. Now whenever I look at all the pictures of the kids in their costumes, I'm going to be totally creeped out. That's a more believable conspiracy theory, right? You would have someone look at the costumes, and there'd be like a little number. Wouldn't that be terrifying and creepy if there's an elite sex ring that uses little kids' Halloween costumes as marketing for the kid? You see a little Vampirilla costume for a 10-year-old, and it has a little number on it, because they all have unit numbers, and you know exactly who to call, and you're like, I would like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, please. And then a week later, you get Vampirilla, that little model, sent to your house. Like, Jason, that's the worst. That's scariest. That came off the top of your head. That's like the scariest thing I've ever heard. You've ruined Halloween. From now on, if you have kids, they're like, let's go Halloween shopping. You're like, no, never again. Never again. You guys are going to be ghosts for the rest of time. You guys are just going to get pillow sheets with eye holes cut out because I listened to an episode of Dead Rabbit Radio and he told me the scariest conspiracy theory ever. It's the worst. I think I've officially ruined Halloween for myself as well. So we're in the same boat. I guess we'll be ghosts this year as well. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at Facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today.